Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy game day. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. Thanks so much for joining me on this beautiful Sunday morning as we get set for Packers-Browns noon kickoff time, at least Central Time. First road game of the season. We've got a lot to discuss and a lot to get into, so let's jump into it right away. Let's start with the good news that we got on Saturday. Tucker Kraft is good to go for this game, per Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport, amongst others. That is huge news for the Packers, that he's going to be out there in some capacity. We don't know exactly how much he's going to play, if he's going to be limited, if he's a full go. None of that at this point we have any indication of. The only reports that we've received and seen is that he's going to play in this game. A couple things I want to discuss here. First is that the big takeaway here for me is that this is not a long-term injury or anything that they're clearly very concerned about, and that's huge. And if he can get through this game healthy and you know, like, play well, etc., I'm just happy that we're not concerned of, like, how long is this thing going to linger on? He's already ready to go this week against Cleveland. The second thing is, I know exactly what you're thinking already. Man, they kind of probably brought Jordan Love back a little bit too early last year. Christian Watson, Jair Alexander. Green Bay doesn't have a great track record recently. We don't know what went into those situations and scenarios. We certainly don't know what's going into this one. I trust Green Bay's medical staff, and I believe that they will be extra cautious, knowing that they are a Super Bowl contender that is going to hopefully be competing many months from now, and they are not going to put something at risk in week three for Tucker Kraft if they think it could limit him or be an issue for him moving forward. That's just what I choose to believe. Let's just see how this one plays out. I understand the maybe desire to say, like, hey, just let him sit this week, maybe let him sit next week and let the bye week come. You can beat Cleveland and Dallas without Tucker Kraft. I get that. At the same time, if he's good to go, and he wants to play, which you know he does, there's only a finite amount of these games. A loss to Cleveland sets you back. As you try to compete with Detroit for the division, Philly for the NFC to try to get that bye, you know, any sort of loss or just not being able to win any specific game can set that back. That can really hurt those chances down the line. So to me, that's where the difference between injured and hurt comes into play. If he's hurt and he can still go, then by all means, like, that's kind of part of the job description in the NFL. But yes, I'm hoping that there's no risk of re-injury. I'm sure if there would be, Green Bay would be extra cautious at this point in time. So I'm taking this as good news. I'm letting all the other stuff not get into my thoughts, and we will see what Tucker Kraft can bring to the table against Cleveland and how much he plays in this game. But I'll just say it. I'm excited to see Tucker Kraft get out there and play and hopefully dominate as he has been against this Cleveland Browns defense. Meanwhile, Jaden Reed did officially go on IR. Just a procedural move here, nothing that we didn't know already. He's going to be out for the foreseeable future, and this is just logistics, if nothing else. They did not pick up anyone in his place, so they now have two open 53-man roster spots, one for Brenton Cox and one for Jaden Reed. All right, let's get into our Luigi's Pizza player to watch for this game. I'm going with Josh Jacobs. I just think we're going to talk about it a little bit. I think the run game is going to be huge in this one, but I want to see Josh Jacobs really get going. I'd love to see 120 plus yards rushing for Jacobs, ideally on like 20 carries. So it's not, you know, that he has to carry it like 30 times to get to that. But yeah, I really think that there's an opportunity here. And I think Green Bay just needs to go into this game with the mentality of we're going to come in, we're going to run the football, and we're going to dictate terms that way. And to me, if they can do that and Josh Jacobs can have a big game, it's just probably a victory for the Packers. So to me, I'm watching Josh Jacobs in this game as my Luigi's Pizza player to watch. Meanwhile, let's get to our injury report presented by Habish Habish and Rotier. With Tucker Kraft now playing, just one player that we have to worry about, and that's Zach Tom. Now, Tom practiced all week, albeit limited. This is another very interesting one. He said that when he was moving laterally, he felt fine. When he moved forward, tried to run, that's when that, you know, injury really started to affect him. Again, if he can go, I'm assuming he's going to go in this game, but we'll see how cautious they are with Zach Tom as well. But that's it. That's the injury report for Green Bay. It's Zach Tom and everyone else is good to go now that Jaden Reed's on IR and we don't have to kind of talk about him on the injury report anymore. It's just Zach Tom that's up in the air for this one. So good news that it's just one player, but it's clearly a very important player when you have Myles Garrett across from you. And for this one, Zach Tom could have a really big impact if he's able to go out there and play like he normally does. Doesn't make it any easier necessarily going against Myles Garrett, but I mean, I guess to some extent it does because it's Zach freaking Tom. It's still a very tough matchup for anybody, but I would certainly rather it be Zach Tom than a rookie like Anthony Belton or a second year player like Jordan Morgan in this instance. So hopefully Zach Tom can go and not have any sort of risk of re-injury or anything like that, but we're going to have to wait probably until about an hour and a half before kickoff when those inactives come out to see if Zach Tom is in fact able to go in this one or not. From a Browns standpoint, they elevated two players, Caden Davis, the wide receiver, and Dom Jones, a corner. DeAndre Carter, their kick returner, punt returner, wide receiver, was cleared from concussion protocol, so he is good to go for this game. And their kicker, who had to have an MRI done because he had a bit of a tweak or an injury of something, he is still good to go for this week. He is good to kick. He is going to be their kicker. I think that's actually a good thing. I don't think he's actually all that great to begin with. And now he's a little bit banged up as well. I was kind of worried that they're going to get like some veteran kicker in and he was going to go out and, you know, save the day or like, that's not the case. Schmidt is still kicking for Cleveland. Like I said, I think that's kind of a good thing for Green Bay. Meanwhile, again, we know Mike Hall Jr. is out for the Browns and the two big questionable players for Cleveland are Joel Bitonio, their guard, and Jack Conklin, their tackle. So the offensive line's very much in flux for both teams with Zach Tom for Green Bay, Joel Bitonio, and Jack Conklin for Cleveland. Those are the three that, again, an hour and a half before kickoff when the inactives come out, those are the three to be keeping an extra eye on. As far as activations for the Packers go, they did not activate any players whatsoever. So this is interesting because with a 51-man roster, because there are two players down, again, Jaden Reed, Brenton Cox, both on IR, no call-ups. They only have three players that they need to deactivate in this game. That's it. Only three players to get to 48. This one, I think, is semi-simple. The one of them is interesting, but either Zach Tom or Donovan Jennings will be inactive. Certainly not both. I don't think both of them will be active, but if Zach Tom is good to go, he'll be active. Donovan Jennings will be inactive. If Zach Tom is not good to go, then Donovan Jennings will be active and Zach Tom will be inactive. I think pretty simple there. Warren Brinson, he's been inactive every game so far. I would expect that to continue. And then they have one more that they would need to do. And I think there's four players that could potentially be in that conversation. Ketan Oladapo, now that Zane Anderson is back, Anderson's the core special teams player, and they probably won't need either of those guys at safety anyway. So I could see now that Zane Anderson is active, that Ketan Oladapo is potentially the deactivated player here. Ben Sims, if Kraft and Musgrave and Fitzpatrick are just all good to go, specifically, obviously, Tucker Kraft, they've only activated three tight ends all season long. So Ben Sims could clearly be that other one. But if they're a little bit worried about Tucker Kraft and how much he's going to be able to play, I could see Ben Sims being the extra call up there and that they actually, or not call up, but active player, and they keep four tight ends in this game. Baron Sorrell, if they don't feel like they need five defensive ends, he could be. I think that's probably not super likely, but it's not impossible. And then Kamal Haddon, same thing. If they don't feel like they need five corners, again, I don't think that's super likely, but also not impossible. Neither Haddon or Sorrell are core special teamers. So those are possibilities. But to me, either Zach Tom or Donovan Jennings for one inactive, Brinson for the other, and then either Oladapo, Sims, Sorrell, and Haddon for that one other inactive. I'm going to say it's probably Oladapo. And then again, Zach Tom is the real question mark there. All right, let's get into all the keys to this game and what I'm going to be watching for. I've talked about a couple of these on the radio show and a couple other radio hits this week. I talked about a little bit too, I think, on some of the live shows. But number one for me is really simple. In week one, you just traded for Micah Parsons. You actually have a week one home game. You're going up against Detroit. It's a big fight feel. It's the 3:25 p.m. game of the week slot. The crowd is incredible. The vibes are immaculate. Micah Parsons, first time out of that tunnel, and the energy was insane. And Green Bay kind of came out and just blitzed them, not literally like a blitz, but like literally blitzed them just overall in that game and just kind of punched Detroit right in the mouth, and they didn't have a counter for it. And then in week two, you come off a huge win against Detroit, and you've got Thursday Night Football, primetime game, 1-0 Washington, 1-0 Green Bay, Jaden Daniels, a team that went to the NFC Championship game a season ago. Again, big fight field, vibes are immaculate, whiteout conditions at Lambeau Field. It's like everything is perfect. The energy is incredible. And we saw that for the first 2 weeks. And now, week three, just the noon game, just Cleveland on the road, no home atmosphere. Can you carry over that same energy that you had in those first two games into Cleveland on the road for a noon game that doesn't have that big fight feel? If the answer is yes, I'm sorry, Cleveland, it's game over. Green Bay is winning the game. The answer is no, well, then it's a bit different. And Cleveland's going to be desperate in this one because they don't want to go 0-3, because everyone knows 0-3 is basically your season's over. You just don't come back from that. So they're going to be very desperate. But if Green Bay comes with that energy and intensity that we've seen over the first 2 weeks, I just don't think Cleveland stands a chance. So you can almost take everything else after this that we're about to go over and just say, if one hits for Green Bay, meaning that they are fired up for this game, same as they were the first two, I like Green Bay's chances. I'll just put it that way. Number two kind of feeds into this. I'm interested to see the crowd. If this is a extremely pro-Cleveland crowd, that makes things harder. The Browns fans have the ability to get very loud. A very loud crowd can make Myles Garrett even more dangerous because you're going silent count and it's just a nightmare at that point. In the meantime, if Green Bay fans travel like they usually do, that can mitigate a lot of that and even maybe cause some problems for Cleveland, depending on how loud those Packer fans are. So I'm very interested to see the crowd dynamic for this one. Number three is what I just consider the obvious ones. We don't need to spend a ton of time on them. You know them, I know them, we all know them. So we don't need to go over them in great detail. Myles Garrett, you have to contain him. It goes without saying. He's a stud. To me, he's the best defensive player in football. And even Micah Parsons is like, hey, if you want to make that argument that he's the best player or defensive player in football, he's like, I'm not even going to argue with you. He's that good. He's that talented. He's an absolute freak. And you got to figure out a way to shut him down and make it that he's not controlling this game from the Browns defensive perspective. Number two is turnovers. Every single week, it kind of goes without saying, but this is one of those games where if Green Bay wins the turnover battle, they're just going to win this game easily. If it's even, I think Green Bay wins like 90, 95 times out of 100. And then if Cleveland wins it though, I think that's what gives them a puncher's chance. And so I think Cleveland needs a turnover to go in their favor in order to have any real chance at winning this game. And if that doesn't happen, again, I just think Green Bay comes out of this one pretty easily. And then the last one is special teams. And specifically like big returns, blocked kicks, blocked punts, anything like that. Again, Cleveland needs to live on the margins in this game. They can't win this game straight up. So they got to win the field position battle. They got to get the turnover battle. They might need a big play on special teams. Those are the ways that you allow a bad team to hang around and have an opportunity to win. Green Bay can avoid those things. Don't let Myles Garrett beat you. Don't lose the turnover battle and don't have some big play on special teams. Like I said, they're just going to win this game. So Cleveland's got to have a couple of those things bounce their way. If they don't, Green Bay should be easy in for a win in this one.
We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Now, you and I make decisions every single day, but on Prize Picks, being right can get you seriously paid. Now, don't miss any of the excitement this season on Prize Picks, where it is good to be right. Green Bay is 2-0, and after a mini bye, they are set to take on Cleveland in their first road game of the season. And I'll tell you right now, I'm going to be going heavy on Matthew Golden and Edgerrin Cooper in this matchup. I'm also going to be keeping a close eye on Josh Allen, AJ Brown, and Ashton Jeanty in week three. Now, some of you may be new, so let me just tell you, Prize Picks is super simple. Just pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections, and if you get your picks right, you could cash in. Lately, I've been really enjoying Flex Play, which allows you to still cash out even if your lineup isn't perfect. You can double your money even if one of your picks doesn't hit. So what are you waiting for? Download the Prize Picks app today using code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And don't forget that code PACKADAY, Prize Picks. It is good to be right. Sports are all about competition. Every snap, every possession, every clutch moment matters. That same energy is what 1v1 me brings to video games. Every single day, you can watch and stake on matchups in Madden, NBA 2K, FC, and Call of Duty Search and Destroy,
All the games are streamed live, every match has refs, and payouts are instant. And these aren't just random online lobbies. These are the best players in the scene, pros, streamers, and rivals, with season playoffs and the championship game on the line. Every game matters. Over 100 million has already been paid out on the app, and the community is growing fast. If you're a sports fan, a gamer, or just someone who loves having a little extra on the line, 1v1me is where you need to be. It's not just about winning. It's about the bragging rights, too. Every match has a chat going crazy, and you can back your pick in real time. Download today and use code PACKADAY. Your first stake on the app is risk-free. That's code PACKADAY for a risk-free first stake. Do not miss this opportunity.
Number four, we talked about a little bit with Josh Jacobs, but who can establish the running game? I do think Cleveland's interior has been better. Their tackles are not great, but their interior is good. If Betonio's out, that will affect them even more in this game. But I want to see which team gets this run game going, because the team that does is going to have a massive advantage, because both these teams are going to try to stop the run on early downs to get you into third and long and make it so that for the Browns, Myles Garrett can get after you, and for Green Bay, Micah Parsons can get after you. So you don't want to live in those third and long situations. And the defense that can hold the opposing team to short yardage gains on their running attack, it's just going to set their defense up for so much success. And vice versa, if either of these run games get going, now you're setting up play action and everything else. So to me, the run game is paramount to success for both of these teams. And the team that does a better job of setting up their run game will have a huge advantage to me in this game. Number five is just the attention to detail stuff. This kind of goes along with the mistakes and stuff I was talking about earlier, but I don't need Green Bay to revert back to pre-snap penalties and dumb decisions and drop passes and those sort of things, right? Again, play this game straight up. You don't have to have your A-plus game in order to beat Cleveland. You just can't have the C-minus, D-minus type games or an F game and all of a sudden give Cleveland chances. So to me, that's what Green Bay's got to do in this one is take care of their mentals and make sure that they're not making those silly mistakes and having great attention to detail. Number six is Packers wide receivers versus man coverage. For those who don't know, Cleveland is number one in the league in man coverage, and they're number one in the league in cover one. Now, I love this because anytime there's a defensive coordinator who's predictable, Matt LaFleur knows how to tear those things apart. You're going to get a ton of man beaters in this one, a lot of motion, a lot of bunch formations, pick plays, all of it. You're about to see a little bit of everything, but what I will say, a couple things. A, I'm not super impressed by Newsom and Denzel Ward. I think you can get to them, but Green Bay has had some struggles in the past with man-to-man coverage and getting off of press man-to-man coverage. You're about to see a decent amount of that. So I do think it's up to Romeo Doubs, Matthew Golden, Dontavian Wicks, etc., to make sure that they are getting off of that press coverage and getting open for Jordan, because it's basically just a race. Meaning you're going to get off of man coverage eventually. It's just a matter of time. Guys can't cover forever. But in the meantime, that pass rush is going to be pretty aggressive. And the corners are playing you press man so that those first looks aren't there. So you're inherently going to have to hold the ball. And now it's just what happens first? Receiver gets open or defensive line gets to the quarterback. It's literally a race. But I like Green Bay's chances because, again, they kind of know what's coming. And Matt LaFleur is really good in those situations, but be mindful. And if you're taking your eye off the ball, watch to see right at the line of scrimmage if those wide receivers are getting clean releases and beating the defensive back to the football or just, to their spot and being able to win with their route running ability. If so, huge advantage for Green Bay in this one. Number seven, Rashawn Gary and LVN. We know that Cleveland's going to do everything they can to take Mike out of the game. But Cleveland's offensive tackles are terrible. They're really, really bad. So if Rashawn Gary and LVN can take advantage of that, maybe it's one of those things where you put Micah Parsons over center, try to get him going. If Betonio's out against his backup guard, like those are things where I still think Micah can win even against some of their better players like Wyatt Teller. But in the meantime, I think you're going to be able to have Rashawn Gary and LVN winning, I think, against those other offensive tackles. And to me, that's an advantage for Green Bay here as well. Get those two guys going. Mike is going to get his, and now you're going to be very well-rounded up front. So big game to me for Rashawn Gary and LVN as they go up against offensive tackles that they should be beating with some regularity. Number eight is Jerry Jeudy. He's the one big-time receiver for Cleveland that I have some concern over. I think Joe Flacco is very smart. I don't know if anyone can completely solve this Jeff Hafley defense, but Flacco's been around. He's seen just about everything. And if he finds that connection with Jerry Jeudy, again, that would be the one where there could be some legitimate cause for concern. Now, they've shut down, you know, their number one wide receivers in Detroit and Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jameson Williams even. McLaurin did next to nothing last week. They've been really good with this stuff, but you certainly don't want to get Jerry Jeudy going with any real sort of momentum in this game. Number nine is the two tight ends for Cleveland, David Njoku and Harold Fannin. Those two have a lot of run after the catch ability. So it's not that you're going to limit them from catching the ball or things like that, at least not consistently, but can you get them to the ground right away? It's okay if you'll, you know, get them play over the middle where one of those tight ends catches the ball, but you got to get them down right away. And so that it's a 5 yard gain rather than a 15, 20, 25 yard gain. So I think those are two very talented tight ends. I like Green Bay's linebackers and safeties to match up with them, but you got to make sure that you're getting those two to the ground. And then last but not least is the kicking game. We talked about special teams already a little bit, but I think Green Bay has a huge advantage here. I think Schmidt for Cleveland is not that great, and he's a little bit banged up. And I think the world of Brandon McManus and what he's done for Green Bay so far, I think that's advantage Green Bay in the kicking game, which you never know. I hope it doesn't come down to that. I hope Green Bay wins this a little bit easier, but don't sleep on the kicking game and potentially needing a couple field goals to kind of get you through this one at different aspects and different times of the game. All right, so those are my 10. Intensity and energy, how good of a crowd can this be for Green Bay? Or if it's not, is that a huge advantage for Cleveland? The obvious ones, Myles Garrett, turnovers and special teams, run game for both teams, attention to detail for the Packers, Packers wide receivers versus man coverage, Rashawn Gary and LVN hopefully tearing it up front, be wary of Jerry Jeudy and David Njoku and Harold Fannin, and then of course that Browns kicking game as well. My prediction for this one, Packers 27, their third consecutive game getting 27 points, Browns 17. I think this could be a lower scoring version of the Bills-Dolphins game that we just saw the other day, where you're going into the fourth quarter and it's tied, and maybe even Cleveland has the ball. And you're like, oh, this is kind of annoying. Just like we saw Miami, tie game, had the ball. Then of course you were about to get the ball and then they had the roughing the punter penalty. But I could see something similar where during the course of the game, you're like, man, this is close and I'm kind of nervous. Can Green Bay just put this thing away? And then you get to the end and you're like, oh, they won by 10 points. I think that's what you're going to see here. I think 17-17 going into the fourth quarter, Green Bay has the ball. They go down, score a touchdown, make it 24-17. Cleveland goes down to try to tie the game. Flacco throws a pick. Green Bay gets set up in field goal position, kicks a field goal to put it at a two-score game. Cleveland doesn't score from there, and it ends up being a 27-17 final in favor of the good guys, your Green Bay Packers. All right, couple other news and notes things here. I will be doing live pre and post game show, so make sure to come 11 a.m. to the pregame show and then immediately following the game to the postgame show live on YouTube. Hope to see you guys there. And then just some other games to keep an eye on throughout the course of the day. Bengals at Vikings, battle of backup quarterbacks. Vikings currently 2.5-point favorites in that game. Rams at Eagles. This one has major NFC implications. Eagles currently 3.5-point favorites in that game. Cowboys at Bears. Packers, remember, play the Cowboys next week, so always worth keeping an extra eye on this and then also seeing what Chicago's up to. The Cowboys are 1.5-point favorites in that game. And then Cardinals at 49ers. 49ers, 1.5-point favorites in that game. A battle of two undefeated teams early in the season at 2-0 each. All right, friends, that's all I got for you today. Thank you so much for joining me. Enjoy the heck out of Packers-Browns. Hopefully it's a fun one with a lot of scoring for Green Bay and not much scoring for Cleveland. And we get to talk about it on the live postgame show. I will see you for the pregame show, then the game, and then the live postgame show. Looking forward to it. Make sure to join, again, on the YouTube channel. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gasford, Dylan Patscott, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkle-Sinkle, Jen Wright, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, Craig, John D. Metropolis, Hayden Radomski, Devin Lane, Ganzusa, Alexander Newell, Dan Miller, and Tenneltown T. I'll see you guys soon, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.